I had a little bit of, yeah, we're gonna use my phone. A little trouble connecting to the internet over here, but we're in Port Lucie. We're at Randy and Mary's house, and we got the Gregs and the Tarbells. We got us, and we got the Lees, all the Lee clan. I guess Jerry's gone now, I see. Okay. I think we're broadcasting. It's probably going to work with my phone. It looks like it right now. It's not giving me any warnings. It's low bandwidth. So let's give it a try. Give me a minute for the presentation. Put that up. Everybody got quiet.
You may have posted your streaming.
I am streaming. Yes, you may post that. We're streaming from Port Lucie, Florida.
Saint Lucie.
Lucy was a saint, they tell me. Let me bring that up just a little bit. My PC camera's not working all of a sudden either. But that's okay. We got this one. We'll deal with it. Are we all set to go? Okay. Is that your phone? Okay. Let us get started this morning. We'll start with a song if you like. Got some trouble? We got our marks. We got a whole bunch of them. You guys get one of these if you want.
No.
Are you on? Are you signed up for public? He's got a special, I think, for this morning. You got a special? Or you got a song, anybody?
One seventy-one.
We got singers. We have singers. One seven one. Get away from that mic.
Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle, if I were by myself, nor wander from the pathway, if thou wilt be my God. Oh, let me feel thee near me. The world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle, the temptings of my soul from sin. Oh, let me hear thee speaking in accents clear and still.
This morning as we meet together. Be with thy locals around the world as they meet and seek thy guidance today. We ask that you might be with this country, that they might, that we might come unto thee. We ask that you might be with us in our daily walk. We thank you for your many blessings you give us on a daily basis. We thank you for the church and thy son. We ask that you might lead, guide, and direct us in our message. We ask all these things in favors in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I think I'll forgo a second song. I got started a little bit late, and so I think I get right to it. And hopefully the technology will hang in there. All right. So this morning, make sure that's what's going out. Yes, it is. Can't go full screen, otherwise it complicates things. So I'll stay like this for you guys, and you guys pay attention to what's there. I had some thoughts on for the last few weeks on what it is to be a son or a daughter, and not particularly under that, but certain things about that. And I got various pictures here, and no matter where you go in the Church of Christ, and I find a distinction because I haven't seen that. I've seen some, really great Christians, I'll say, out there, but I don't find that they have the same relationship if they go to a Catholic church, for instance, in one area and go to a different Catholic church. They don't have that same feeling or that same thing, and I've looked at it in the congregational church. I've seen it in different areas. And, and there's different reasons for that. You know, I thought hard and long about it. But so I wanted to address that a little bit. If you go to the Yucatan, which several of you, I won't say many, but several of you, us have, if you go there, it doesn't matter that, I heard Gretchen this morning saying her daughter is there, and she cried when she'd seen Matilde. She doesn't know Matilde, it's we know the people by just the relationship with the church, and it's true no matter where you go, which country you go, and I've seen many of the areas out there, and it's always the same. So that son and that daughter, and I wanted to talk more about that thing I just brought up. So kind of the same question. in a nutshell, we talked about this last week a little bit, and we had outsiders listening also, and probably time to start something. Galatians, for as many have been baptized into Christ, have put upon Christ. And we talked about that last week, and we got a few comments. We had to address that for the outsiders. There is neither Greek nor Jew, neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are one in Jesus Christ. If ye so be that ye Christ, then ye be of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So if we put on Christ through baptism, and I talked a little bit about this, and you know, if you don't believe in a baptism, chances are, and I that was the last thing I brought up, that if you don't believe or you don't baptize in a particular church, I guarantee you're going to have more than one altar call. You're going to be touching the screen more than once. You know, when they say touch the screen, you're saved. You're going to pray that prayer more than once, that sinner's prayer. It's just not what the scriptures teach, and you're never going to be satisfied that you've made the covenant the correct way. But those that have been baptized in the Church of Christ, you know you did what God told you to do in the scriptures. You did it just like he told us to do. And if you do that, there's another scripture here, 2 Nephi 13:16 says this. And if you know that if you follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy, with no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins and witnessing unto the Father that you're willing to take upon him the name of Christ by baptism, then ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. And it's a promise, and I could find 8 scriptures just like this. It's a promise that God will do. And so you know you're not going to have to do that sinner's prayer. You're not going to have to make several altar calls. You have made that covenant, and you can take that to heaven. So it's a promise. It's a covenant. But the other ones, you know, it's just not satisfying. And you can talk to anybody. If they give you that stuff about sinner's prayer and stuff, just ask them. Have they ever prayed that twice? They have. Family of Christ. Going on here. More than what I want to talk about. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without. So he had several brothers, and his mother was out and desiring to speak with thee. So one of his brothers, I wanted to talk to him, and his mother, and this is what he answers. But he answered and said unto him and told him, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brother. For whosoever shall do the will of the Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, my mother. And I found this to be true. You know, those, we can have family, relatives, by blood. And we find our church members are, if they're not members of the church, we find that their church members often are closer to us in bonds. And that's what Christ was telling us. We take on the church body. Somebody told me that blood is thicker than water, telling, you know, I corrected him. I said, no, the church family is my first family. And that's what God, Jesus Christ, intended to be. I didn't put the scripture in here, but he says, I come not to unite families, but I come to divide families. And I had that last week, and it's true. I mean, you know, what he meant by, they would divide over the religion. And he created a new family structure. Not that our families aren't important, but he created a true family, and that's what he intended us to have. All right, so I've been looking at history, and I spend a lot of time looking through the how the early Church of Christ did things, and They had a thing, no matter if you lived in what country we're in now, the Americas, or you lived over in Jerusalem area, they had what they called all things common. And I know our minds go quickly to Acts in the fourth chapter, I guess, and it talks about all things common. But and that was a particular area, Jerusalem, and Jerusalem had an interesting situation. They came in there, you know, the males were required to come three times a year into Jerusalem, and they did. They came at the Passover, they came at Passover, they came also on the day of Pentecost, and they were converted at that time. That was the day of Pentecost, and they had 3,000 souls in one day. Well, many of them didn't go home, so they had to take up collections, and they had to help them out, you know, because they didn't go back where they were going to. They just wanted to stay on with the saints. And so they did take up collections for them, and you can read about that in the various letters of Paul. That was one thing they called all things common. But another thing they called all things common, and they did it for hundreds of years in both this land and in the land of Jerusalem, they says, we have all things common. Didn't mean they sold everything they had and divided it up amongst the apostles, divided it up, or the bishops divided it up, or the deacons. They didn't do it that way, but they all had houses, but yet they insisted they had all things common. Let me read a couple of these passages on that. Family possessions, which usually destroy the brotherhood among you, create a fraternity bonds among us, the church. Being one mind and one soul, we do not hesitate to share our earthly goods with one another. All things are common among us. And there's some other scriptures, other quotes I could find in history, but they all regarded themselves as all things common. And this is what they meant. You know, they shared their earthly goods with one another. And let me read the other one. And this is in Nephi. Now, this is in this land. And many of them saw and heard unspeakable things, which are not lawful to be written. And they taught and did minister one another. And they, I thought I wasn't streaming for a minute. I heard a phone. Okay. And they taught and did minister one another, and they had all things common among them, every man dealing justly. Excuse me one minute. I am dropping. Yeah. Interesting, I didn't have it in this computer. I've always had this computer. Now it's just going to have to. It's just, folks, I can't do anything about it. I know it's dropping some bits. It's just going to be as good as it's going to be. Okay? It doesn't look like it's dropping a tremendous amount of bits, but every once in a while. So anyway, let us go on. So no matter if you were in Jerusalem or you would be in this land, wherever they might have been in this land, they considered all things common. And like I say, it wasn't the same as we read about in Acts. That was a special circumstance. But they shared all things with each brother or sister. And I'll give you an example. You know, if I needed a backhoe this last summer to straighten out some lawn, and Randy comes over and shares his backhoe with me. And, you know, I know Amanda and Steven are out there right now. Their car broke down, right? And so whose truck are you using right now? It's me. And, you know, that's what we do as a church. And that's all things common. So we come very close. I mean, I don't think we're totally, you know, there. Maybe not like they were, but we're getting close on that point. And, you know, there's been societies that tried this, and you read about it. If you do a search on that, you're going to say a lot of efforts have been made to go have all things common, and they've all failed up since Christ. And it by and large, that's true. Because they go into it with that idea. That's the most important thing in their life, to share all things. And they divide up their money. And they fail because, you know, it's very difficult to do that sort of thing. But their focus is wrong. Our focus is on our brothers and sisters, and it just so happens that we do share our stuff. So it's a totally different mindset, and they're going into the wrong mindset. And it's sermon's not about all things common, but that's a characteristic of the family of God that I wanted to talk about. And I have that little picture there, the horse, they're getting their cart before the horse. You know, their focus is wrong. They're trying to do all things common, not because they're brothers and sisters, just because they think that they want to do that for some reason. So, all right. Good. It'll be good, maybe not forever, but it's good right now. So it's the best I can get it. We'll continue. The early Church of Christ, in Tertullian, you know, he lived around 200 AD, some 200 years after Christ. And here's another thing that we've been challenged. I remember being a small boy and I was challenged that somebody had read this and wanted to know where in the scriptures this was, because they had read it, they couldn't find it anymore. It says, look how they loved one another. And this is talking about the atheists, or the non-church members, talking about the Christians. And Tertullian's quoting this. How they loved one another. For they themselves, the pagans, hate one another. And that's his comment. And how they are ready to die for each other. For they themselves are ready to kill each other. So that was an observation. Even the non-brothers and sisters noticed about the Christians, how they loved one another. And at his time, they still had things, all things common at his time. So that's that bond I'm talking about, being in the family of God, being brothers and sisters. And that's something I think we do extremely well as a church. Our strengths, as I see it, this is kind of taking poll at this time and seeing what our strengths and wisdom. And this is my opinion. So from my opinion, I think we're very strong in this area. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread. So he mentions three different things there. The doctrine of Jesus Christ, you know, how do we baptize? Is that important to us? Do we lay hands on? Those are doctrinal issues. So they continued in, just as Jesus Christ talked to them, and they continued also in fellowship. And sometimes we underestimate the value of fellowship. That's that family bond. And we overlook that a lot of times. But that's a key substance of the church, that fellowship. And in breaking bread, we're going to do that this morning. And then we're commanded to do all of those things. Remember in Galatians, the first chapter, about the sixth verse, it says they were no longer how they departed the faith, and how they depart the faith because they departed the doctrine of Christ. And he says, if anybody preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. And he repeated it. So obviously they were having problems even in Paul's day. They departed the right way. And they always go the way of easy. And you know, they departed the Church of Christ in Paul's day, some of them. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom we are called unto fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So there it is again. And I think that's a strong, you know, Placido's group there of Yobain, I think. They're all from Yobain. Oh, no, I see some from YLK there and so forth. But I guarantee if you go down there, you're going to feel like you're home. Is that not true for those that have been there? No? Oh, okay. Yes, absolutely. You're gonna feel just like you're with family, no matter where you go. And I envy that that there's some down there from America today. So, love and fellowship. This is one of our strengths again, that fellowship and love. Nevertheless, Helamans 2:120. Nevertheless, the people of the church did have a great joy because of the conversion of the Lamanites. You know, when the church becomes, we become brothers and sisters, and true brothers and sisters. And you know, like I say, I can only speak for the Church of Christ. I don't necessarily see that as much out in the world. But we see conversions of brothers. We hear about, you know, there's a new area of Ethiopia, and they add to the church 30 or 20, and we hear about that, or they call one to the ministry. We have great joy. That actually gives us joy in life. And it's no different than the Nephites hearing about the Lamanites' conversion. That is our life, and that is what gives us joy. And that's, you know, that you put up on Christ when you have that feeling. It's a change of life. It's a change of attitude. And it goes on to say, yea, because of the church of God, which has been established among them, they did fellowship one another and did rejoice one another and to have great joy. That's the inspiration of our joy and life. Those coming to Christ, that's what we live for. And that's what God intended and all that. And I think that, once again, I think that's one of the Church of Christ's strengths. And I think we're strong on that. Doesn't mean we don't have room for improvement, but that's one of our, I like to give us a strengths and maybe some weaknesses next. So in my opinion, that's one of our great strengths. All right, now some areas that I think we could probably improve on. It says this, in Philippians, I use this a lot, it says, work out your own salvation. So it requires work on our part with fear and trembling. So we're always working on our salvation. We're always working to improve ourselves, becoming more Christ-like. That's what we're doing today. You know, that's what we're trying to mold, each one of us, even me, doing the sermon. That's part of it. That's my work. For it is God that worketh within you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So the Lord, if we're faithful, unto these things, he does the work. He does the actual work. We put forth the effort, but he does the conversion. And that's the thing we've always got to remember. You know, we look at this great mission that we have. We always got to remember that it's him that does the conversions. As much effort we spend, we can't put the pressure on ourselves. Well, if I'd have said that, if I'd have said this, you know, we do our best. We try to say what comes the best thing to say. You know, that's our desire. But ultimately, it is God that works within us and God that works within them. So, before I leave this slide, so what areas do we have to work on here? And it comes to mind that not everybody that's baptized is still with us. And they have certain gifts. Are they using those gifts in the church? Well, if they're not in the church, they're not using their gifts. So that's one. Another is we have people that have gifts that don't use those gifts. You know, and how can you, you know, he gives this gift. If it's not being used, he may not give it to this person. And so that's an area we will improve upon. It's not an area that we stand lacking, but, you know, it's an area that we will improve upon. And we have work to go in that area, in my opinion. All right. I see us, in the future, being, you know, they say a church that the minister does all the work is a weak church. And I don't care how good the minister is, that's a true saying. He's not going to have all the gifts. God isn't going to give him all the gifts. And so a church that has everybody working, every single, and that's what we have to, I've seen it, I mean, I didn't discover this on my own. They do this in much of the Yucatan. And it's often, I often tell the story about when we went down there and they ask us what we do. And, you know, I said, well, I'm not part of the ministry. Well, yeah, but what do you do? And,